when you open the door for somebody else.
Welcome back to part two of our discussion on absolutely nothing in particular. We're having just an open talk, and we kind of just decided to meet and talk about our tour coming up, as well as kind of some latest thoughts of what's going on with coronavirus and COVID and everything like that. So we'll hop back into it, into this discussion. By the way, did I tell you I interviewed a guy who basically manufactures PPE?
Okay.
And by the way, he doesn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
And what he told me was surgical masks are one layer up from a piece of tissue.
Yeah.
And he said they should not be worn for more than 3 hours and discarded.
Hmm. All right.
And cloth masks, of course, you know, are a joke. But my point is, he's literally manufacturing PPE for hospitals and whatnot. And even he does not wear a mask or believe in wearing a mask because he realizes how ineffective that really is when you're talking. Like, you cannot be free from all possible contamination all the time. Right. This goes back to my bigger point, which is, what's the real solution? The real solution is not try to avoid getting it, because you're not going to be able to be successful for that forever.
Right.
And this is what I think people are doing. It's like they're ducking, trying to hide out, thinking they're going to escape it, and it's just going to pass over like a storm, and it's going to be gone. You're going to come out, the sun's shining, and go, whew, I totally miss COVID.
Yeah.
This is how people think.
The answer is to prepare yourself, your body, your health, your lifestyle, and your mind to weather storms like this, because there'll be another one next year.
And that storm's not going to pass over. It doesn't just go over you and keep going. It's here. And like I always, you know, that expression, the only way out is through. Mm-hmm. I like that expression because I think a lot of times in life, we try to avoid pain. You want to avoid heartbreak, avoid pain, avoid confrontation, avoid difficulty. But not only do you usually find growth on the other end of those things when you go through them, and that's a positive thing in the end, by avoiding it, you might actually just miss out on the growth you could have had or the life experiences you could have had, because nobody wants to feel these uncomfortable things. But you can't avoid it all.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you try to avoid it, it's going to show up in other ways in your life. It's also going to elongate the process. It's going to take more energy to try to pretend like you're not thinking about it. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. That I am a big believer at this point, while I don't like confrontation, I'm a big believer in hitting something head on and getting it over with. Being prepared to go through it, accepting whatever that means. Because you have to be honest with yourself about whether or not you really can avoid something. Now, there are very few things in life you can avoid, and you probably can. I can avoid jumping off a cliff into a pool of water and that risk that comes along with that, where you could possibly hit your head and die. I can totally avoid that risk because I will never go cliff diving. Some people choose to take that risk because they want it. They want the adrenaline rush and they love it and whatever. That's something I can avoid. But there are most things in life you can't avoid. And so, you know, the fears and the anxieties that we have over some of this stuff, I mean, I'm seeing full-on paranoia about people, germs, illness, sickness, worry, anxiety, fear. What kind of state do you think somebody's body is in for extended periods of time when that is their focus? All day long looking at the death ticker, all day long watching the news, all day long afraid, not afraid of people with masks, they're totally fine. Afraid of the people that don't have them, where the person with the mask might be the one that's infectious and they would never know. And we know the mask isn't doing anything to stop that infection from transmitting to you. But because in your mind you feel you're safe, then you look at that person as harmless. It's all about that perspective. But it just trips me out when I go out and about and see people. I don't wear a mask as often as possible, and which is almost all the time. And when I see people, it's almost like people look at me, like I was telling you earlier, I had somebody look at me just almost in horror. She's looking at me like, oh, I can't, my God, no mask. I can't believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, don't you remember this is how it used to always be? Like, I showed a picture of Biden, who is never seen without a mask, ever.
Right.
Not even in photos, not even in planned photo ops for his campaign advertisement and sponsorships, not in video advertisements. When there's not a single person around him, he comes out on a stage with nobody around him, not near 6 feet. He comes out with the mask just to be seen with the mask, just to take it off and speak. He did a town hall thing where he had it just down below his nose and kept the mask on, but kept it below his nose the whole time. He had another one where he lifted up the mask to cough into his hand and put the mask back on. I mean, these things are very funny to me. But I did a post about this because I feel like there's a psychological element here. He is always seen with a mask, and it's like a product placement. He is never without it. It has become his brand. And by branding yourself with a mask, then you become the person who's kind and considerate, who is keeping mm-hmm. everybody safe by keeping away disease. Meanwhile, you look at Trump, who isn't wearing a mask at his rallies because he's obviously not anywhere close to anybody. And I had somebody comment and say, well, Trump does the same thing with the mask, except he takes his off, and that's his like, you know, his product placement. And I'm like, you mean by showing his own face? The natural state of humanity is now a type of product placement. This is the way we all used to be, but it's like people forget.
Right.
People have literally forgotten.
Yeah. And I think that's the danger people are forgetting about, is we all accepted the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, except you.
Except me.
If we have this conversation, I'm like, 2 weeks, I can do this. We can all do this. You know, we can all, and we weren't wearing masks back then, but I'm sure we would have all been happy to wear masks and stay home for 2 weeks if we needed to. This has turned into 8 months, and they, you know, added mask wearing along the way. And the virus still went through us, you know, just as probably as if we had done, you know, nothing, like as we're learning from other countries. And kind of my take home message from all this is, we could have done the exact same thing without destroying our economy and destroying people's livelihoods, and without creating a public element of fear and anger and, you know, hatred towards people, and, you know, discriminating against people who, you know, who don't wear a mask. And we've now turned this into a whole thing that, what if this literally never goes away? I mean, we now have the possibility that we are now going to start wearing masks everywhere in America. And if you don't, you're un-American. You don't care about anyone else. And I don't think people really realize that. It's not, you know, 2 weeks. That passed a long time. It's not 2 months. It's not 6 months, you guys. It is 8 months.
We're like at 36 weeks.
And they are adding on things for us to do as a society to try to fight this, where things have already flattened. You've talked about, you know, the death rate is already flattened. The virus is circulating. It's on its way out. Is it going to resurface again or not? You know, who knows? But it's circulating regardless. If people could look back and say, we could have achieved all this without everything we've done. I mean, maybe we did some social distancing. Maybe, you know, compromised people stay home, at risk people stay home. You know, the general workforce keeps working to support everybody, to support our economy and support all the people that have to stay home. You know, we could have, you know, our economy could have stayed thriving, and healthy people's lives could have stayed healthy. Their mental health could have stayed intact. Colleges, school life for children. We didn't have to destroy so many children's lives. Again, everyone thought it was temporary. Mm. You look around, public schools not only not coming back this semester, some of them are not coming back this whole year. Mm-hmm. I just heard, you know, some of our local California colleges are for sure not starting the next semester. They're staying home. This is what we've done because we, the people, have allowed our government to do this. And in hindsight, did any of this really make any difference whatsoever? And it very likely hasn't. And if we, the people, if everyone who supports everything we've done, you're almost, it's almost like you have to stick to it now. You can't step back and admit that.
That's what I said.
You supported the wrong side, and you can't step back and say, "Oh gosh, maybe the government officials and the authorities I've been following and supporting, maybe they were wrong, maybe I was wrong, and maybe I should reexamine this." That's hard to do for people. It's hard to step back and admit you're wrong about something. But if we can, I guess, get enough people to take a second look at this and decide, hey, maybe as a population, maybe as an American people, maybe as a world, people across the world, we didn't do this right. What did our leaders do wrong? How are they misleading us? Why are they leading us down this road of fear? And as a people, can we stand up and do something about it? Get some of the, get everyone who did it wrong, don't elect them in the next cycle. Hold them accountable. Mm. And let's move on with people that want to keep us healthy, keep society healthy, get people to live healthier lifestyles, and sure, use modern healthcare at your discretion and based on your choice, and we all work together in a way and figure out how could we have done this better and what leaders would lead us in that direction so we can move on with life and get kids back in school and get people to stop wearing masks and get people working again. We all want that. I don't believe anyone physically wants things to stay the way they are. If everyone wants that, people have to stop and realize certain members of our leadership and our government are not moving us in that direction, you guys. They're possibly moving us in a totally different direction. And how horrifying would it be if 2 years from now we're still all wearing masks? Or certain colored states have mandated masks and certain colored states don't have mandated masks. I mean, that is so wrong. And if people can't realize how wrong that is, then I guess you're just not very open-minded. We're not going to convince everybody, but if we can convince enough people that we're all on the same side on this, I think everyone wants the exact same thing.
They have to. But what I'm more concerned with is the fact that this has fundamentally changed people's perspectives on things like germs, contagiousness, infection, health, like people,
or even friendship, physical touch, being social, the importance of that.
We have no idea what kind of fallout we're going to have with mental health over the next decade or longer after this. We have no clue. Everybody wants to be like, I see masks on children and I cringe.
Yeah, what is this doing to children?
Why do you need to bring your child to the mall? If your child is forced to wear a mask for hours, why bring them? Why put them in a position where they have to do that so you can go shopping?
Right, and are all these kids going to grow up as germaphobes?
That's what I'm
saying.
And
have this fear.
Why not take your kid to the park near your house where there's nobody out, where you can be outside, put them in positions where they can be as normal as possible? That is our job as parents. I am disgusted with the amount of people that I'm seeing masking their children places as if this is an okay thing. These children are 2 and 3 and 4 years old. My children have never worn masks, not one time.
Yeah.
And I have them for them that are like a breathable kind for an emergency if we have to go on a plane or something like that.
Yeah.
I will not mask them for everyday life things. Those everyday life things are not important enough for me to put them through that. And there are people going through this every single day. They're doing it for their kids to go to school. They're doing it for their kids to be in hobbies. And they're going to, whether it's church or grocery stores or, like I said, shopping malls. I mean, to me, it would be essentials only. And I still wouldn't mask my children. I wouldn't. I would find the store that isn't going to make my child wear a mask.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's not convenient. But I don't think people understand what this is. Not, like I posted the other day, this is not an accessory. This is not a fun, look at my cool mask.
Especially, you guys, it's not just a month anymore. It's not just 1 or 2 months of this. People have to realize this could turn into years, years and years and years and years. And just as a society, I just can't fathom doing that to our children. So accepting it now is a way to help prolong that.
as a pediatrician, what do you think this is doing to children's mindset as it relates to, like you said, germophobia and being afraid now that if they're interacting with another child without a mask, that they think that other child is diseased somehow.
Right.
It's kind of like the discussion on vaccines, right? People assume unvaccinated children are just full of diseases and they're dangerous to be around. Right. But you can't tell that a child is unvaccinated when you're playing with them. If a child is unmasked versus masked, that's a very physical representation.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think this is doing to the mental health of children to grow up not understanding the common exchange and exposure of germs and what that does to our immune system and how natural that really is? Meanwhile, nobody's really strengthening the immune systems of these children by eating better and doing all those health things. They just put the mask on instead, and anybody without the mask is the danger. What do you think about that?
Well, everything you do with a child sets a pattern, a lifelong pattern for their mind. And so if we are teaching this generation of children, no, you can't just go up to that child and start talking to them or get close to them or hug them. Or heaven forbid you go up to another child and give them a big giant kiss on the face, because that's what you see toddlers do. I mean, how many Facebook videos have you watched of two kids just going up to each other and hugging each other and kissing each other and playing together? We're teaching an entire generation of kids not to do that, to lose out on touch and just the warmth of an embrace and the warmth of and being in someone else's personal space and how important that is.
About open expression, even emotionally?
Yes, and you're
there's
gonna reading be an the face.
There's going to be an invisible wall now.
No, you're right. Reading the face, you know, reading the lips when you're talking, seeing the smile, seeing the eyes. Basically, kids are learning patterns on how to recognize different emotions. Mm-hmm. And if you cover, three-fourths of the face, you're teaching kids to only, be able to read the eyes. What is that doing to their brain and their mind? Yeah, kids get this kind of stuff at home, with their parents, assuming their parents are not wearing masks in the house, because most people aren't, of course. But they're missing out on the wide variety of human interactions in a way that we have no idea how harmful that's going to be to that generation of kids. Sure, my 18-year-old, he's at college. He wears a mask when he goes outside because that's the rules, and he's fine with it. He doesn't need that. Now, if that turns into all 4 years of his college, he's going to have lost out on an amazing experience that's an important for young people to grow, to grow through. And any age of children you pick, prolonged years of mask wearing is going to cause irreparable harm, in my opinion, to their social development and their emotional and mental development.
And potentially physical as it relates to there are physical, not everybody can safely wear a mask, and forcing everybody to do it. I see people needing to lift their mask to breathe as they're talking. I see people that look like they're struggling with it. And imagine adding that sports and trying to do sports in mass and work out on your cardio equipment at the gym in a mask.
Yeah. But also depriving all these kids of sports during this time as well. I mean, that sucks as well. And I almost feel like once the vaccine comes out, all the mask wearers will take a big sigh of relief and relax and say, okay, now we're all good. Give me the shot. I'm now immune. We can all go on with our lives. Is that going to be the answer to this? We know that might not be the functional, real life answer to this, but is that going to be sort of like the pretend answer to this? And then will we be able to move on or not? I don't know. And I guess one thing I'm excited about of with our upcoming podcast tour is, even though I'm tired of talking about COVID, I'm very passionate about trying to figure out how to help society move through this, move past this, get beyond it, and get life back to normal, not accepting any new normal, but back to real, human normal. And how do we draw the parallels between this fight that we've been in? I've been in for, 20 years now, and you've been in for 5 or 6 years now. How does the medical freedom fight we've been in regarding vaccines, how does the whole COVID fight tie into that? How do we merge them so that a much bigger proportion of the world can come out of this healthier, taking their health more seriously, realizing that modern medicine isn't always the answer to everything, realizing there's a better way to do things. So now the health freedom group becomes a huge part of our population instead of this little tiny, you know, percentage of our population. So that's what I'm really excited about. And I think that's a big part of what our tour is talking about all these different angles and drawing these parallels and getting you, the people, empowered and psyched up and energized and motivated and educated to then turn around and, you know, bring all your friends to the next event we have and start talking to your friends and, you know, have the, not only the vaccine conversation, but the, you know, how to live a healthy life conversation and how to help society and our government become healthier as a people in the long run, instead of this pharma reliance
I think
that we've had for so long.
It comes down to also not accepting a new normal.
Totally.
Not being willing to accept it. And don't think just because it looks like everybody else is complying that they don't agree with you. A lot of people comply, but they don't agree with it. And if they knew more people didn't agree with it, they'd be a little bit more loud about them not wanting to comply. So it takes the bravery of a few to get the support of many.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I think people forget. And whether it's vaccines or personal liberties or medical rights or whatever it is, we are all on the same team on this. And coming up with our tour, if you're in the Dallas area or you're nearby, you need to be there November 5th. Be there to see us. It'll be between 7 and 9 p.m. in the evening. We want to see you, and you need to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be basically like a live on stage podcast show. We're going to record it, and we're going to film it, and you know, we're going to have, you know, audience participation, and we're going to, you know, look forward to hanging out and talking.
We'll bring us after.
We'll bring our T-shirts that we made, you know, for the tour.
I'll have my Vax Facts and COVID cards.
Oh, cool.
You'll have your books.
Yeah, probably some books, and but I think for us, it's more about we're meeting you. You know, we want to meet and connect with you, and. This is all through our nonprofit. So, you know, we don't, obviously, none of this is for money at all. You know, we don't make any
money.
It's
not a fundraiser,
words. Yeah, and it's not a fundraiser either. It is an event just to connect.
But you need to be there. And don't think, if you're listening to this or have been told about this, or you have friends that really aren't into discussions on vaccines, don't think that they can't be there. This is not going to be an only vaccine discussion. This is about personal liberties and freedoms and medical rights discussion. And that's for everybody. Mm-hmm. So don't feel like you're not going to be able to bring somebody or tell somebody about this. This is if you are somebody who is against what's going on right now and wants to preserve medical freedoms and wants to preserve personal freedoms and liberties, you should be there. You're going to be getting something out of this. This is not just a vaccine discussion.
All right. And bring a friend that you think could benefit from hearing this message. Maybe they're a little bit on the other side, or they're kind of like somewhere in the middle, and you know, this is an outreach, this is a ministry, this is kind of to raise awareness for these issues. And so bring someone that you think needs their awareness raised.
And tickets are $10. That's
$10.
We are going to be giving back to those organizers that are spending money on the venue. So we're going to be helping to contribute back to some of that cost. And again, this is not a profit-making thing for us. This is about being able to come out even at the end of this and be able to have created something great that we can give you guys for educational tools.
Yeah. So by the time this episode airs, we'll be selling tickets. Hopefully there'll still be tickets available, but I mean, people...
Seats are limited.
Right. So we're going to post this on, I guess the main place you would get tickets is immunityeducationgroup.org. We have a podcast tour tab, like on our homepage of our website, immunityed.org. or immunityeducationgroup.org. Go to the tour page. You'll see Dallas, Texas. You'll be able to buy a ticket. I assume they're probably going to sell out pretty fast because we don't have, you know, tons available. And, you know, grab your ticket. Look forward to seeing you there.
Make an evening out of it. And then if you're in the Nashville area, we might be coming to you one of the first 2 weekends of December.
Yeah, so don't drive like from Nashville to Texas to see us in Texas, because we might be coming to Nashville.
And then I think we're going to be doing Florida in the beginning of January, or maybe the third or fourth week of January.
Well, we literally are going to try to go everywhere eventually.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we, I don't know.
Maybe one to two places a month that we can get
things,
to.
Yeah, as mm-hmm. things open up, especially when places open up.
We're looking at Idaho, Utah. So we've got Texas on the books, Nashville, Florida. If you want to host us, you have a medical freedom group. Because I went through all of this back in March, but the whole world went upside down since then. So I'm kind of starting from scratch again. If you want to host us, contact me on Facebook at Melissa Floyd. And what I need is somebody that can organize a venue for 200 to 300 people and that can organize and promote in your local medical freedom groups to get people there. It's a relatively low maintenance production. We're literally just all we need is a stage, some sound, and we're going to be videoing as well to create some educational tools for you guys. And that's it. And we want to meet you. So
We don't charge any money for this.
You know, we're like, not getting speaking fees. Somebody asked me that. Right. They're like, what are your fees? No, we're not getting any fees. We're literally there to facilitate education and facilitate empowerment through information. That is our goal. It's always been our goal. This is why our nonprofit's called Immunity Education Group. All of what we do is about educating on this, and that is our passion. And so we need your guys' help as it relates to getting the word out on this. And let's make these events huge. Let's sell them out. And let's do what we intended to do back in March. Let's find a way to do it now. And if you want your state to be on the map for us, then contact me and we will facilitate this process. But it's happening now. Texas is going to be our kickoff. I'm so excited. I can't actually believe it's going to finally happen.
I know.
We've been waiting for a while. Can't wait to see how it turns out. It'll be a fun, chic kind of evening. Yeah. We're going to be dressed up and we're going to come out and we're going
to. Wait, do I have to wear
have to
nice
dress
clothes?
Up. Yes, you have to wear nice clothes. If I have to wear some type of heel, then you're wearing nice clothes. That's only fair. So we're going to be looking snazzy. So you guys take an opportunity to get dressed up, come with your friends. Let's have a really awesome and empowered discussion on health freedom. And let's just revel in the fact that we're with each other and that we're connecting and our power is getting stronger because we're coming together. And this is so important. So be a part of it with us. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see you guys there.
Yeah. I'm super excited about it. So, well,
more information on immunityeducationgroup.com under podcast tour. We'll update that as soon as we have the link for tickets and details of each event that we're booking.
Yep. On the tour page, you might see some of the older events we already set up that are kind of postponed and put on hold. But as events get, rebooked and every new place that gets booked, we will add it to our list of tour locations. So you'll see it right there on our website.
And then if you don't know, I have a little side podcast called What They Aren't Telling You. It's also in all the same places that you can find this one. If you want to talk about the social and political stuff, including COVID, the unpopular opinion that's evidence-based. And then I have that little video project called The People's Choice. You can see that on my social media, which is Melissa Floyd on Facebook or Melissa Floyd for Truth on Instagram. And I post lots of different things, usually a couple times a day, some type of discussion or study or something that I'm sharing that talks about this. And it's so nice to see those numbers growing and people really enjoying this discussion.
I love your last episode on your What They Aren't Telling You About mask wearing. It was very personal. It was just great to hear you kind of present that whole idea. Some of what we talked about today, but
is this the Dr. Yeadon episode?
Yeah. And not just mask wearing, but a whole bunch of different aspects of COVID. That was fantastic. It was a really well done episode. And I thought touched each different topic, kind of like what we're asking today. Have we done all this wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And what do we need to do about it? You really succinctly in like 35 minutes put it all together in a nice little package.
What's funny is it took me over a week and a half to edit that episode. Cause it would just be a couple hours whenever I had time. And I'm thinking, I don't outsource that editing when it's just me. Cause I'm thinking it's going to take not too long when it's just one person. But my God, for some reason that episode took forever. And there was a lot of, as I was doing it, there was a lot of stop and start in my ideas. Because a lot of times I just like this, we just press record. But when you have an article, you're like reading part of it, but then you're trying to remember where the other part was, and you're trying to go back to it. And sometimes it's at nighttime and I'm tired. It's the end of the night. So I'm like, my mind was kind of all over the place. And so I had a lot of stop and start and had to kind of make that more fluid, which is what the content was. So it and I don't have a lot of hours to really put into this. So it ended up taking so long. And when I was done with it, I thought for sure it was like 50, 55 minutes. And I look, it was like 36 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? All of that work for a half an hour. I have some episodes are very fast, but that one took forever for whatever reason. You know, cause I'm a perfectionist. I don't want you guys hearing any extra squeak from a chair, any extra breath that's like, you know, takes away from just the information. And, you know, when you see this stuff, like high production stuff, those people have people doing that all for them in order for it to sound nice and smooth. That stuff doesn't just happen that way. But it was good. I liked the content.
And that, if you're looking for like one podcast episode on the COVID topic to send people that you think need to hear the message, that is a great episode.
Oh, great. So it's episode 21. Just came out yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you just share it. Just say, hey, be open-minded. Kind of listen. It basically presents why do people with our kind of, you know, opinion on this, why do we feel this way? What does the science show or not show about why we view the pandemic response the way we do? And the scientific community, the scientists who support that viewpoint and why they support it. So very well done.
Thanks.
So, yeah, share it with people.
This is a lot of what we've been saying over this time. I get so happy when I see somebody else saying the same thing. Because I realize these people are researched. These people have access to the best information. And it's 8 months later, they're still saying what I was saying in March. So it's like, that's validating. Yeah. It's validating to hear people say the same thing when we already sort of knew it. But every time it comes, even though the loudest voices are saying something else, it's like just hearing that really makes you feel better in your own viewpoint. And it's kind of why I dug my heels in, is because I felt very strongly about it. So I always feel good when that's validated by somebody else with this kind of expertise. Because as people will say, who are you, Melissa? You're not a doctor. It's like, yeah, I get it. I know that I'm not. But you know what? You can be a doctor like Scott Atlas, and it's not okay because he's not a certain kind of doctor. Right. You know, it's never good enough.
Right.
Any way you look at it, it's never good enough. Either the person has expertise or they don't. And either the facts are there or they're not. And there are too many people saying the same thing, which is what we're saying. Again, whether or not they're the loudest voices, it doesn't matter. What matters is that there is science to back up what we are saying. Yep. And as I always feel, the fact that science is conflicting should never be grounds for a mandate. If you have that kind of conflicting science, you should never be taking away personal liberties for hypotheticals. You can't do it that way. You have to do policy based on evidence. It has to be evidence-based policy.
Right.
So anyway, glad you guys are enjoying that, those that are listening. Thank you for that. And you know, I've gotten messages recently that are new listeners to this, which is cool. So funny.
Awesome.
Because I'm like, oh my God, 2 years later, I keep forgetting. Like, there are people brand new to this.
Yeah.
That have never heard. And they're starting on episode one and going through the whole ride with us. And it's cool to still have new people joining what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's the awesome thing about podcasts. New people always go back and start from the beginning for the most part.
And we won't be ending
versus
this.
Versus like blogs or, you know,
right.
Facebook pages.
People keep
getting
word.
Oh yeah, this isn't ending. Yeah.
We're not ending. Even if we take breaks, like we're not ending. And we'll always have the occasional episode that's popping in there. We're not going to have like long periods of time where we don't do anything. Sorry, Dr. Bob.
Right.
He's like, wait, what? I thought that was the whole idea of taking a Christmas break. But it's good to kind of keep...
Yeah.
Staying visible and making sure that we're still near you guys. And we'll keep bringing you information as soon as we can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know when we'll see you guys again, but we will see you next time.
Will we?
We will.
In person.
Oh, yes.
We will see you in person in the Dallas area November 5th.
Guarantee there won't be another probably podcast episode before that.
Really?
Probably not. I don't
before November 5th?
Will there be?
I don't know. We'll see if something. Oh,
you'll have one, and then I'll have mine, and I'll say hi to you on mine.
Probably not, because it's going to be post-election. Maybe we'll after that week. Yeah. Why don't we do one after that week? We'll talk about how the experience went, and we can also talk about election and if we've seen medical policies change or something after what we're expecting for that.
Yeah.
There was some interesting discussion that Scott Atlas had in that video about what would happen if Biden wins as it relates to COVID policy.
Yeah.
And what that would look like. And we'll have to see and talk about that more. Maybe if we don't get another episode in. If we don't, then hope to see you guys in person in Dallas.
Yeah,
and
just
if not,
know we are busy working and preparing for this upcoming tour. And
maybe we'll do a Facebook Live, maybe. between now and then. We might be able to do that and just hop on really quickly and say hi to everybody. Right.
We'll see.
He's like, no.
We could just keep talking and talking, right? Well, we will see you guys next time on
Podcast.
The information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your healthcare professional for information on vaccines and infectious diseases.